Amen. We got an incredible worship band. Amen. Amen. A wonderful tech team up there too. I appreciate everything you guys do. I know you're not recognized, so thank you. It's not always easy blending all the different voices every week, blending all the music, and there's people say, oh, it's too loud, it's too quiet all the time. All they ever do is hear complaints, right? And so, yeah, put your complaint in these tithe boxes, and we will might look at them. We might give them to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, we love you. It's good to be here this morning. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, and it's my pleasure and honor to bring God's word to you today. I pray you had a good week, church. Did you have a good week? Amen? Awesome. If you didn't, it's all right. Today starts a new week. Amen? I love that you chose to start it with the Lord here in God's presence, that you started with this family. Amen? If you're a guest today, or you haven't been here very long, we want to say thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here with us. We want to give you something as you go out. We have a little packet that has some information in there, a gift for you. We get some information from you, and we just want to connect with you. We believe that this is a family, right? One thing we don't want to do is we don't come here to have a service, right? We check mark our thing, and we, you know, good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. So we're not coming here to check mark something off of our list. We came here to have an experience with our living God, and we came to do it together. Amen? So we love it. We have Sunday morning, we have Sunday night, and we have Wednesday night. Lots of opportunities to get together, and we have a lot of different activities as well. We try to do as much as we can, as often as we can, without overwhelming ourselves. But we want to be effective for the kingdom of God. We only live one life. Amen? This side of eternity, there's only one life to live. How are you living it? What are you living for? Amen? And don't let a lot of people say, my personality gets in the way. The most shy person in here can be a tongue-talking, fire-breathing, Holy Ghost-preaching person on fire by the boldness of the Holy Ghost. And see, you don't have to worry about, oh, my personality, or if you're introvert or extrovert. It doesn't matter. When you're used by the kingdom of God, God uses you. He uses you in your gifts. He uses you with your talents or without your talents. He uses you where you're at. What you have to say to God is, I am available. Use me. Amen? Amen. You have one life to live. Live it for the Lord. So these past 3 weeks have been wonderful. And we're following this monthly theme here at First Open Bible, compassion, right? This week and the last 2 weeks, it's been about compassion. What a powerful word. Amen? Compassion compels, right? Compassion isn't empathy. Empathy is weak. Empathy is, oh, man, look at that. That's too bad. And then you turn away and you walk away, right? Too many people did that to the Good Samaritan. Oh, it's too bad. Or they didn't have even empathy and they walked around him. You know what's sad is a lot of those examples, and Pastor Cody said it again on Sunday night, last Sunday, a lot of those examples were church people, leadership. Oh, I'm not going to deal with that. What are you dealing with then, right? If you can't stop and deal with people, love God and love people, what are you loving? Your own agenda, your own self? Guess what? That's your God, not God. Amen? 2 weeks ago, God gave us a word about being blessed for compassion. God gave us a word about Abraham, right? That we're grafted in because we're God's people. I'm so thankful for Paul teaching us that the Gentiles, that Jesus didn't just die for the Jews, he died for us Gentiles, amen? And he grafted us in, and he grafted us in, and because of that, we can have the promises of God. And one of the promises of God that was given to Abraham, or Abram at the time, changed his name to Abraham at 99, one of the promises is not only will I bless you and your seed, right? And see, that's what a lot of churches do. I just want to bless our church, right? I just want to bless us. We should be blessed. We're blessed people to be blessed, right? No, we're blessed to be a blessing. And it says that not only that, but all of God's children, all of God's descendants, all the seed of Abraham, all these people that call God their father, right? That's our father. We're to bless not only us, but we're to bless the whole world. One verse in Genesis, there's three verses that I highlighted. One of the verses says, all the families of the world will be blessed because of God's children. right? We are to bless the world. It's not just for us. If we're all it's about is us, this is a country club, and I'm gone. I will not be your pastor if this is what we have to be as a country club. I'm not into that. But I'm so thankful that we are able to be a blessing. And what something God put upon my heart, remember we all came together, if you were here 2 weeks ago, we had a bunch of thank you cards. And you remember who we wrote it to? Who was it to? The mayor and? Do you remember? You didn't write it to the mayor. Somebody wrote to the mayor. Somebody else write it to what? Nope, not city attorney. Good night. The girl, yes. The girl. So obviously most of us wrote it to the mayor, right? We have a district lady that's in charge of district number 5, which is our district where this church sits in this city. She's in charge of our district. She fights to go to the mayor for our district number 5 right here. If you live around this area or you go to church here, she's fighting for us. So we wrote it to those two people. And I was wondering, and what was really cool is 2 weeks ago, so there was like 200 letters or so, right? All of you, I encourage you, I don't care about your opinions. It doesn't matter if you voted for them or not. What the fact of the matter is, God's word says that they are put in place because God put them there, and we're to pray for them, right, and honor them. You don't have to necessarily have respect. Respect is earned, but honor is given from God. And people in leadership and authority deserve honor. You honor them even if they're not bad. If you don't agree with that, read God's word. How many times did Daniel or other people have crooked, evil kings that they had to honor until it got to the point where you wanted me to bow down to you instead of my God, and then I'm not going to honor that. But I will honor you because I realize that. So what we did is we wrote thankful things to say, and it also says to pray. Right, we talked about Jeremiah, and Jeremiah talked about if we want to thrive in our life, then we need to pray for our city. We need to plant our roots. We need to be grounded here. It says plant farms, eat, get married, and have children. Have your children have children. Be successful. Be here. Plant your roots down. Love the city. And because of what happens in your city, you will be blessed as well. So what do? We wrote letters. And so I wrote a small letter so that way they didn't get this box, right, full of all these letters and go, man, is there anthrax in here? What is this, right? Right? I wrote what it was and what God was doing. And guess what? This Thursday, we got a letter back from the mayor, and I want to read it to you. Amen? Super cool. August 13th, so 5 days ago, they wrote it and we received it. It says, Dear Pastor Holzapfel, I can't thank you enough for the wonderfully thoughtful cards from your first Open Bible Church congregation. I read each and every note, many bringing some tears for their kindness and their evidence of their faith. I have been truly touched and blessed by your congregation's gesture. The reminder to trust in our God was very timely. Thank you, and please thank your church members for their kindness. Please tell them that I was touched by their notes, and I promise to continue to do my very best to serve this great city with wisdom and compassion given to me by our God. I will also find some time soon to come to First Open Bible Church for a Sunday morning service. Amen. If you're here today, please come on up. Amen. Sincerely, Brad Hart, Mayor, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Come on now. See, don't get stuck in the mundane. Don't get stuck in the cycle. God said something, and we intervened on something that I can't guarantee this, but I'm pretty sure they've never received such a box before, right? And that a church that might not necessarily support them in the voting box supports them on their knees. Amen? That's amazing. That's what we're called to do. We have to be full of compassion. It compels you, church. You got to do something about it. Amen? Amen. Amen. And last week, we were given a message on compassion for families. It was super awesome. I read some stats about how we're a fatherless generation and how we need people to step up and we need to love on children and all this stuff that's going on. But not only that, there's also fathers sitting in a home, right? Sitting in a home, and they might as well be fatherless because they don't lead at all. They don't lead spiritually. They don't lead any which way. And see, we have to come back, and we had to pray, right? And I encouraged all of us to come together, and I even did it with my own family, and I brought even my sister into it, and we had to pray for one another. And it says, forgive one another. If you can't forgive, then Christ cannot forgive you. Right? I would be scared to not forgive people because guess what? There might be condemnation coming your way because you have forgiveness in your heart. So you can't, it's not about like, oh man, I need to forgive and you're worrying about it. This is the principle. Forgiveness is the principle that if you don't understand or give forgiveness with your heart, you won't understand the forgiveness of God. Right? And so if you can't understand the forgiveness of God, then you won't understand the reality of salvation. Because if you don't understand the forgiveness of God, then you don't understand that God has compelled with compassion to come and rescue you and to bring you back to the Father. Right? So we're encouraged to forgive each other. We came together, we forgave each other. Man, I don't even know how many families. So many families filled. I mean, it's amazing. Amazing. Came together and they loved each other and they looked each other in the eyes and said, forgive me. You know, I haven't been a good daddy. I haven't been a good grandfather. I haven't been a good husband. I haven't been a good wife. Forgive me. I want to try harder. Amen? And then you got to forgive. It was awesome. And the best thing that I heard on the way out, because I like to greet everybody as they go out and just tell them that we love them, and that way I can touch some hands and just hug some people as they leave. One of the best things that I heard, I loved it. I said, I'm going to say this. She said this to me. She goes, Pastor, that was good family time. I was like, I love that. That's what this is about, right? This is all about Jesus, but we come together as a family, forgiving each other, loving each other, coming together. If you can't forgive, there will be no reconciliation in your marriage, in your family. And I beg to differ, there won't be reconciliation in your life because you won't realize how to deal with it. Amen? So I want to continue in our series of compassion. The meaning of compassion is to recognize the suffering of others, then take action to help. Compassion literally means this, to suffer together. The opposite of compassion is heartlessness, a lack of concern, or uninvolved in or uninvolved with. Plain and simple, the opposite of compassion is selfishness. Proverbs 31 says, 8 and 9 says this, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. Watch this.
So Outreach Saturday here at First Open Bible is something that we do every year, and I love it. It's super exciting. And what we do is we have people come in the morning and they sign up. And it's a two-part thing. And they come up and they sign up and their family comes. We always have adults coming, and sometimes they bring their kids or whoever. And what's super awesome is we've been doing this for about 12 years. And this year we had 450 kids needing a backpack. So they all signed up. So when they come in this morning, they come in at like 9 a.m. They show up and they sign up and then they walk down the aisle, and at that moment they have a little card and it says how many people are getting a backpack. They hand it to a runner, so we call them a runner, and each runner is assigned to a group of people that are praying. We gather that family, however many there are, and we bring them to a group of two people that are praying. We have the runner go and get the backpacks, and as we're doing that, we're blessing them. The whole point is we're not going to bless you just with a backpack, something that's physical. We want to open up, because we're blessing with something physical, open up a spiritual opportunity. And so what we do is we have the runner get the backpack physical, and at that moment we're blessing the families. In God's word it says Abraham, see we're a seed of Abraham because we've been grafted in. And Abraham not only had his generations after him and him be blessed, but all the world would be blessed because of his seed and his descendants. Our job is not only to bless other believers, but to bless people in need. Everyone, all the families of the world to be blessed. And what's cool is this year, we had 450 different people being blessed, 450 kids getting backpacks, and a majority of them were African refugees. We started 12 years ago, and just about 3 years ago, we could barely even push past 100. We got to about 200. Last year, I mean, it was like just on 300, and then 450. God is extending the pegs of our tent as we're asking for more. God bless us more. and we just want to be a blessing. And we love it. We love Outreach Saturday. So in the afternoon on Outreach Saturday, we gather everybody from our church that's already been doing some ministry with the backpacks, and we carpool and we drive down to Redmond Park. And what's really awesome is we join with two other churches at that moment, and there's so much going on. And this has been going on for 7 years, and this is our third year that we've joined them and come together. And so what they have there as well is backpack giveaway. They had 245 backpacks that they were giving away. They also have free food, we had face painting, we had games for kids. We had tables and tables of giveaways of clothing, household goods, shoes. There was somebody that was doing free hair stuff for people who need their hair done or whatever. They were coming and doing that. We had a worship band came and joined. We had kids that were playing. There's like a water that's coming out. And there's a swing set. There's all kinds of things that are happening. I brought a bunch of Frisbees, throwing that around with kids. It was an absolute blast. And our church came together with other churches. And what we believe is not just about First Open Bible. This is about not our church. This is about the church. And we come together with other like-minded ministries, and we love our community because that's what we're here for. We're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be able to tell the gospel. And we're not just going to keep it within our church body. We're going to keep it with the church body. And so there's like-minded ministries that we've joined together with, and we've done all kinds of ministry with them. And Outreach Saturday is one of those things that I look forward to every single year. It's absolutely amazing. And we're blessed to just be able to do this. And we all live in the same community, and we love the same people. And what's cool is when the churches come together, we show people in the community what it is to be like Jesus, what it is to love people for who they are, where they're at, no matter what their background is. And that's why we love Outreach Saturday.
Amen, church. I know a lot of you probably saw that on Facebook already. We've had like 2,000 views on that. But what an example of what the church should look like. Amen? We can't just be sitting in these pews, right? Right? This is the beginning, right? This is where it starts. But this is practice. I've said this before. This is practice, and that's game time. Amen? As soon as you walk out, it's game time. So make sure you're practicing correctly. Also practice at home. Amen? Amen. What a blessing it is to be a blessing. I want to ask you a question this morning. Who do you want to be like? Who do you want to be like? See, growing up, it seemed like everybody wanted to be like somebody else. Everybody wanted to be like somebody else. I was born in March of 82, right? Some of you are like, oh man, you're old. And some of you are like, what? You're a baby. Right? March of 82, that was my first retirement. I don't know. So, right? March of 82, my parents just got married. I don't know. So, March of 82, I became a huge basketball fan in the late 80s and the early 90s. Guess who I wanted to grow up and be like? Michael Jordan, right? Ooh! Right? I want to be like Michael Jordan. Everybody wanted to be like Michael Jordan. Everybody. I want to walk, I want to talk, I want to shoot, right? I wanted to be just like Jordan, but I wasn't. I was more like Steve Kerr, right? White boy on the three-point line. Give me the rock, give me the rock. I'm going to shoot it up, right? That's what it was more like for me. See, everybody wants to be like somebody else. Thanks, PC. I want to be like MJ. I want to be like Mike. Anybody? I want to be like Mike. You, please. That commercial was 1991 to 1999 with a two-year break for baseball. That was on TV over and over again. Remember, it's got to be the shoes. You guys remember that too? Come on now. If you know, say amen. All right. That's the commercial. I want to be like Mike. And all these kids, I want to be like Mike. Right? Everybody did. Everybody wanted to be like Michael Jordan. See, the world and our flesh, by the way, just side note, Michael Jordan will be better than LeBron forever. Moving on. The world and our flesh. Come on now. Now I got an amen from John. Come on now. Where were you before that? Shoot. I'm going to call you up here soon. Sitting in the back, no time you amen that. Come on now. Come on, Jay, I need you. See, the world and our flesh feeds us every single day and who we should be like. Every day, who should we be like? How should we act, right? Everybody wanted the Michael Jordan swag, right? Everybody wanted just Michael Jordan. He's just always walking around and just everywhere he went, right? He's just Michael Jordan. That's like, oh. He was like the first basketball global figure to touch every part of the world. How should we act? The world tells us what's important in life. See, the world tells us that money, power, pride, sex, and happiness is all that matters in life. There's a family in the Bible that I want to look like and I want to be like. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, says, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the time, the signs of the times, and knew the best course for Israel to take. See, I want to be a leader that understands the times. A leader that's not shook from the times. A leader that doesn't crumble by them. A leader that doesn't compromise because of them. I want to be a leader that knows the best course for God's children. May I ask you again, church, who do you want to be like? See, Paul, in Ephesians, he's writing this letter to the Ephesian church, and he tells them some really important things. He tells them who you should be like. He tells them what to watch out for, as these are the signs of the times. In Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read the first 10 verses. Ephesians 5, 1 through 10. It says this, Paul says, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love. Follow the example of Christ. He loves us and offered himself as a sacrifice to us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Instead, be there to be thankful to God. Let there be thankfulness to God. Verse 5. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins for the anger of God and fall on those who disobey him. Verse 7, don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. Verse 9, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Amen? Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Imitate God in all that we do. Why? Because we are God's children. See, the Greek word that is used there for children or child is tekna. That means those born from God. John 1:12 says, but to all believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. How amazing is that? I don't know about you, but I'm not from Israel. I'm not an Israelite. I'm not Hebrew. And if you're 100% Hebrew today, praise the Lord. You're God's children. You're God's chosen. But I am a Gentile, and I believe in him, and I accept him, and I have the right to be a child of God. What an honor. What a gift. Something I do not deserve. I don't deserve salvation, let alone being a child of God. But the Lord loves us. And as children, we are to be like our... Say it like you mean it. As children, we want to be like our Father. We want to be like our Father. We can imitate or be like God through our relationships and through our character. But if you want to be like God, you have to look like His Son, Jesus Christ. We have to look like, see, a lot of people like to pick and choose what they get out of God's Word. They like to pick and choose and who and how they want to look like, right? Just put it on a jersey that says 23 don't make you MJ. Right? Just because you can dunk doesn't make you Michael Jordan. Just because you're a great defender or whatever it is, or just because you're 6'6", 220, right? And you love Chicago, doesn't make you Michael Jordan. See, we have to look at Christ and His relationships, and we have to look at His character. Why do we look at Christ? Because Jesus is God in the flesh. John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God, and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known." So what does God look like? I just wrote down some thoughts, some groundwork of what I believe God looks like. First, God is love. John 13:35 says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are My disciples." 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "These three will last forever: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." God is merciful. In the New King James, Luke 6:36 says, "Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." What is the definition of mercy? It is this: compassion or forgiveness shown toward someone who it is within one's power to punish or harm. The same verse, Luke 6:36, if you look at that in the NLT instead of the New King James Version, it literally says this: "You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate." Another thing God is accepting. Romans 15:7, "Therefore accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that you will be given glory." You'll be giving God glory, not you. My bad. "So that God will be given glory." See, we are to accept each other. See, this is where the world gets this twisted. The world says this: tolerance. See, God is still holy, and sin is still not tolerated. But the person is. I pray you're thankful for that. Because if you... See, far too often the world thinks that you have to clean up to come to God. You have to clean up to get to church. You have to clean up to be in the presence of somebody who loves the Lord. But that is not how we all came to know God, is it? We came dirty and filthy. Our rags were just nasty. And God said, "No, I'm going to make you clean and as white as snow. I'm going to take you how you are, and I'm going to love you through that. I'm going to accept you, and then I'm going to clean you up and make you look like My Son." See, we're supposed to hate the sin and be compassionate for the person. See, that's the truth of what God actually does. Far too often we say, tolerate all things, and God loves everyone, and everything's under grace. Everything's under grace except for blatant sin, right? If you choose sin, that's not under grace. That's under rebellion. Amen? There's literally a verse in God's Word that says, if you know what to do, if you know what right to do and you don't do it, that is sin. But we keep doing this tolerance. Well, I was born this way. No, you were born, a boy or a girl, you're born to love a man or a woman. If you're a man, you're born to love a woman, and a woman was born to love a man. There's things in this world, fallen things that twist you, hurt you, break you, maybe even things that have happened to you as a child that will twist these things, but we just keep saying, tolerate everyone how they are. But the problem is, you're the God, and God's not God, because you want to tolerate the person, because that person's becoming the God, because they're choosing everything that they want to do. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Where is the sacrifice? Where is the sacrifice? Okay, God is kind. God is compassionate, and God is forgiving. Ephesians 4:32 says, Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. You know who should be the most kind and compassionate people, and the most accepting and merciful and loving people in all the world? Is people who know Jesus. But guess what the world thinks? We're the exact opposite. We're judgmental, we're in our own little clubs, we're in our own little things, and we look down upon people, and that's wrong. That's not why Jesus died. Jesus did not die for such a thing, to look like that. Colossians 3:13-14 says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Can you tell me real quick what anyone means? I think if we look in the Greek, it'll say anyone. That's crazy. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Before I move on, I want to speak to something real quick because God just dropped this in my heart. I was very, very hurt by people in the church growing up as a kid. I felt like an outcast. I felt broken. I felt lost. And I felt like everybody thought that I was a troublemaker and I didn't have any purpose with God. And I was hurt. And because I was immature in my faith, I equated to how people treated me in God's house to how God loves me. And that is extremely, extremely immature. But I was a kid. What else would I know? You're supposed to be the example. You're supposed to show me love. And you make me feel like I'm an outcast and I'm doing these things. And I was very, very hurt to the point where I didn't love God at all. I hated him. If God's people don't like me, then I don't like God. That's how that worked. So I want to speak to something real quick. When I went into ninth grade, I went to a different church. A Foursquare church, a Pentecostal church, a charismatic church, never heard of such a thing. Now, I'm not beaten up. I was raised Methodist. There's a lot of Methodist churches that are phenomenal, wonderful. Even ones around in our own community that are fantastic. But the church that I grew up in, they cared only about, this is literally what they said, only cared about the blue hairs, right? Only the people who gave money and had no purpose for anyone young. And they literally said that. They took all the funds from the children's ministry and the youth ministry, and they said, if you want to help, not only are you volunteering, you have to use your own money for it, because they had no thoughts of the kids at all. And it's terrible. But I went in to this church, and the moment I walked in, I felt God's love. And I, you know how I found Jesus? I found Jesus because they said this to me. God loves you right where you're at, how you act, way you think right now, and he loves you. I literally kept saying at the altar, God, you love me now? You love me like this? You love me like this? But you didn't judge me like them? You love me like this? And that's how I found God's love. I don't know who's in here today that's been hurt by people of the church. I don't know what your past is, but we just read some things what God is and how you're supposed to imitate compassion. Forgive them. Forgive all of them. I forgive them. I don't know where you're at, but whoever hurts you in the church, don't let that hinder your relationship with God. I want to speak to you right now. God had a word for you. Forgive them and be set free. Be set free. Be healed by that. Be set free. Amen? That's you today. Just let that resonate. God, just stop the sermon to speak to you. Because we have to remember the Lord forgave us, so we should forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself. Colossians 3, now verse 14. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony or unity. God is holy. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, quote, you must be holy because I am holy, end quote. See, there's so much more to God than this, but this is a good start. If we want to imitate compassion, we have to look at the Son. We have to look at Jesus. See, saying all this, we need to also recognize the times we live in. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 in the New King James Version says this, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having, this is the worst, this is speaking to everybody who is in church, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Does anybody let this resonate with where they live now? Does it look anything like the United States of America? Does it look like your community? But here's the biggest thing. Does it look like your family? Does it look like you? Don't let that condemnation come. That's conviction from the Holy Spirit. Remember, God always forgives. He allows us another chance. If you have breath in your lungs, another chance. Give it to God. Give it to God. Drop it down. He has compassion. He was moved with compassion, and he's moving again this morning. So you see, church, the world that we live in and the times that we live in is godless. In many places, it's godless. In many places, it's compassionless. And the world that we live in needs a church that shows Jesus. This place that we live in and we look around, this is a place that people don't fight for each other, but they fight against each other. I was born and raised in Oregon, and just yesterday there were riots in Portland, right by where I grew up. Riots from the far right to the far left, and whatever you believe, fighting against each other. For what reason? There was multiple arrests. People even got injured. This world needs what Jesus has. Church, we must be moved with compassion. What happens is people are too wrapped up in themselves and in their own sinful desires that they don't have a heart to show compassion. Sadly, the world many times actually teaches that compassion is a sign of weakness. Where are my men at? Give me a Five of you. Are you afraid what your wife's going to say? The pastor's asking you to do this, all right? Say, men, say, Okay, see, men, we are especially guilty. All the women are like, whatever, dude. We get it, man. That's how we talk, right? Right? You're like, oh, okay, all right. I know where you're at. See, we can sit and watch a show, not even look at each other, right? TV can be on, a game can be on, and we can sit there, we can say five things to each other, then we get up and your wife goes, how was your time with so-and-so? It was awesome. It was good, right? And they're like, what'd you do? We watched TV, and we said about five things together. We had a good time. Right? Right, men? We're like, that was a good time. And they're like, what? You didn't look eye to eye? You didn't zone out the world and talk and cry together and hold each other? No. No, we didn't. That would not be a good time. That'd be a weird time. See, men, we are guilty of this, viewing compassion as something that is weak. A lot of men even believe compassion is for weak people, soft people. Right? We're taught survival of the fittest. Right? It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. I better rise up. You know, I better climb that corporate ladder. I better stomp on as many people as I can to get to the top. Right? Wrong. See? I feel you. He's like, I knew you said wrong. Wrong. Some stank on your face. Wrong. Shh. Wrong. See, Darwinism is not only wrong in the basic principles of evolution and creationism. See, the Bible teaches whoever loses their life will gain it. Whoever is last will be first. See, the world and its teachings have it so twisted. And they teach us, especially us men, that compassion is for the weenies. Compassion is for those soft ones. See, the truth is, expressing compassion towards others reveals a strength of character that many, many can never possess. It's a godly character. sad reality is that most people simply do not care what happens to other people. Why? Because they do not possess compassion. They do not imitate God's compassion. Jesus reveals the exact nature of God. This is what's incredible about Jesus. Jesus is holy. Jesus is a consuming fire. Jesus can be God's wrath and his judgment, as well as he can also be infinite love and infinite grace, infinite mercy and infinite compassion altogether. See, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. All the men out there, grunt, whatever, they don't understand that the greatest man to ever live is one that was moved with compassion to the point where he gave everything he had. He was no sissy. Most of those guys can't even handle a cold, right, women? Right? Oh, I don't feel good, I got this headache. Or a flu, oh, I'm gonna die, right? Right? You're tough out there, right, with your guys, and you come in here and you act like a little baby. You turn like 7 all of a sudden. How does that even happen? Right? Oh, I don't feel good. See, but this man named Jesus not only took a whip and a beating, and he took it beyond recognition where you couldn't even tell if he was a man or a woman. He also took nails, and he hung there for our salvation. He hung there to set us free. He hung there because of compassion. That's a real man, a man that is able to sacrifice all because of compassion. And for the record, sometimes being sick, it's really hard on us. Right? I live 2,000 miles away from my mama. You gotta help me out here. The truth is, expressing compassion towards others reveals the strength of character that many people do not possess, because it's a character of God. And sadly, church, lots of churches do not possess this character of God, known as compassion. That video wasn't made to say, look at us. It was made to get out there, because I told him, I said, I'm not making a video. Some of my friends, he said, New City, and I said, I'm not gonna make a video if it's all about us and look what we're doing. He said, no, the reason why I like this is not only are you doing something, you're also partnering with other churches, and we have to get that out there to compel other churches to do such a thing. We have to get other people to see that you are doing something, you're coming together and loving a community. And I said, okay, we'll do the video if that's what it's for. 2,000 people later, I pray that it has stirred something in people's hearts and showed them that a church on the northwest side of Cedar Rapids loves everybody who calls this city home. See, here's the sad reality, that most people do not care about other people. But Jesus, He shows us the exact nature of God. He can be holy, he can be fire, he can be wrath, he can be judgment, but he can also be love, grace, mercy, and compassion all in one. It's truth and love. It's not this hippie that the world thinks he is with all this tolerance. He is holy, and he sets us free, and he takes us where we're at. And if you study the Gospels, it really reveals the truth that Jesus knew no boundaries, right? Who did he talk to, and who did he bless? Just think about that. Who did he talk to and get in their face the most? Who is it? Pharisees. Who are the Pharisees? They're church people. Plain and simple. They're leaders of the church. They're people that go to church. They're the ones that teach church. They're people like me. Right? That's who he talked to, but who did he love? He loved the broken, the sick, the poor, the downcast, the outcast, the hurting, the orphans, the widows. He loved the ones that are disease-filled. He loves the ones that nobody else loved. He loved the half-breeds. He loved the whole-breeds. He loved them all. He loved them all. He saw them, and he said, it looks like a bunch of people, a bunch of sheep without a shepherd. And he was moved with compassion. And so many times he was moved with compassion that everyone, it says all, were healed. About time church has so much compassion that everybody walks in here today and all are healed. Jesus felt the need of all classes and all kinds of people, and he did something about those needs. His love and his compassion are a challenge to all of us and who we want to be like. Jesus says to all of us, come and follow me. Right? Sometimes we get lost in what that looks like. Does it mean come and follow me into the church and stay? Jesus did most of his ministry in the church, didn't he? No, it's your question. Where did he do it? Where was Jesus found most? With the people. That's where Jesus was. Walking with the people. He was praying to the Lord. He'd get away and he'd seek the presence of his Father, and he would seek the presence and he'd get filled up, and then he'd go and be poured out, and then he'd go and get filled up, and then he'd go and pour it out. That's the whole purpose of this morning, is that you get filled up so you can go and be poured out. That's what Jesus did. Jesus says, come and follow me. Follow Jesus. What that means is you follow his example and you follow his character. Follow him into worship. Follow him in service. Follow him by demonstrating love and compassion to the fatherless, the homeless, the sick, the diseased, the rejected of society, and the one stuck in sin. Follow Jesus. See, I want to be like Christ. I want to have his characteristics. I want to have his thoughts. I want to have his desires. I want to have his words. I want to have his actions. I want to be moved with compassion like Jesus was. I want to imitate compassion. But church, you cannot be like someone if you don't know them, right? Walking around, right? I was in a real dilemma because I was born and raised in Oregon, and Michael Jordan's second championship in 1991 was against my Blazers, my Portland Trailblazers, Clyde the Glide Drexler, Cliff Robinson, man, Terry Porter, what are you doing, right? I didn't know I was going to lose and win at the same time. My favorite player versus my favorite team, and it was difficult. But see, all these people want to imitate being like Michael Jordan, but how easy is it to imitate someone that you don't even know? How easy it is to act like someone you've never spent any time with? I've never even met him. It's just like Jesus. You want to be like Jesus, and if you want to know Jesus, you have to spend time with him. You have to know him. You have to study him. You have to be around him. You have to walk with him. You have to allow him to use you. You must be in his presence if you want to know what God's compassion looks like. You must be with Jesus. See, Mark chapter 3, verse 14 says, and this is Jesus, then Jesus appointed the 12. Why? That he might be with him. That they might be with him. He might be with them. That they might be together. And why? In that he might send them out to preach. A lot of you in here today goes, I don't know what God wants me to do. That's because you're not with Jesus. Because the moment you're with Jesus, he not only you'll start imitating him and you'll start feeling that compassion, he will then send you out to preach. And sometimes you will use words. God will use your life to preach when you spend time with him. If you be with Jesus. The more time you be with Jesus, the more you look like him. We have a choice every day, church, to choose who we want to be like. Who do you want to be like? I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. Right? Do that. Pass me the rock, Big Daddy. Come on now. Trade your basketball in for the cross. Trade your life for the cross. If you want to be like Jesus, trade everything that you ever dreamed about for the cross. To be like Jesus. I want to be like Christ. Use my life. I want to be like Christ. Let me preach. I want to be like Christ. Help me love my wife. I want to be like Christ. Help me raise my children. I want to be like Christ. Send me to these places so we can make videos so the whole world will know that Jesus is real. I want to be like Christ. Here's the reality, though. Far too often, I'm selfish and I'm self-centered. But honestly, my heart desires to be more like Jesus. I need a heart like Christ had. I need a heart like Christ has. Not to just feel things, church. Don't just feel it. Don't just feel it. Don't just feel it. Right? We're Pentecostals. We're charismatics. We like to feel, right? I mean, I'm in the front. I can feel the presence of God because everybody getting into worship, right? We had a powerful worship service and people, the celebration. I mean, there was all kinds of things through your shout and through your celebration and through your victory. You had victory today because you were in the anointing of God and you were praising Him and things were falling off. See, we like to feel things. But don't let it stop there, because the Bible talks about that. You'll be tossed to and fro. Not only in the teachings of this world, but you'll be tossed to and fro by your feelings. Because one time you won't feel like serving Him. Trust me. You think every Sunday I want to preach? Let me give you a little hint. I don't. I'm tired. Right? I'm annoyed. I'm not feeling good or whatever. Whatever it is, right? Whatever it is. But what do? I'm obedient to Christ. I have compassion. I move with compassion because I know God has a word. God has a word. God has a word. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about time we have a heart full of compassion and a backbone of steel. Stand up for what you believe in and love the people that don't believe the same thing. And don't be part of the crowd like they were over there in Portland, Oregon yesterday, throwing rocks and hitting people and yelling and screaming and just trying to get your point across. Don't do that. Jesus never stood in a corner and said, turn or burn, turn or burn. No, what did He do? What He did was this. He walked in, He took off part of His cloak, and He washed feet. That's what He did. He went to the sick. He went to the homeless. He went to the diseased. You think Jesus wanted to do it? You think Jesus wanted to go to the cross? The answer's in the Bible. He didn't. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, Your will be done. When's the last time you dropped your agenda for the compassion of God to be moved through your life? So I look at the signs of our times as I come to close this morning. I look at the signs of our times and I realize we need more compassion because we simply need more of Jesus. I want to look like God and I want to look like Jesus. I want to read you a quote. Many years ago, there was a survivor of a Nazi death camp that wrote these embittering words. He wrote, quote, "Here's to a world that did not care. To those who had eyes but would not see. To those who had ears but would not hear. To those who had voices but would not speak." End quote. At the end of your life, the world will either be a place that is more or less kind, more or less compassionate, more or less loving, because of your presence. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're feeling. But I hope this compelled you. See, church, the ball's in your court. Who do you want to be like? Who do you want to be like? See, it's easy to say something. It's easy to say, I want to be like Jesus. But do your neighbors know that? And I don't mean by telling them or putting signs up or putting things on your car that say it, right? By the way, the worst thing you can do is if you're a terrible driver, putting something about Jesus on the back of that thing, right? I love Jesus. Get out of my way, man! Shh! This guy's a moron, right? I've seen it a bunch, right? A little Jesus fish. I just want to walk over and go, clink, rip that thing off. Like, seriously? Right? You realize going past the speed limit is breaking the law, and if you break God's law, you're actually breaking things against God, right? You realize, all right, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give God what is God's. So what are you doing driving 20 over? Stop, right? What are you doing cutting people off and yelling at people? Anyway, moving on. See, it's not about what we say, it's about what we do. The ball is in your court, church. What will people remember? See, when you say the name Michael Jordan, years and years and years and years. If you believe it or not, he's the GOAT, greatest of all time. Right? And maybe there'll be somebody better than him in the future. But when you say that name, you know exactly who he was and what he stood for. But when somebody says your name, what's behind that? What's behind that? What will people remember? See, they need to remember what God did through you for the glory of God. Amen? Prayer teams, please prepare to get ready. Worship team, please come forward. Or one or two or whoever you want to come up there. I want to ask you a question before we go today. I pray you were moved with compassion. Thanks, man. Thank you. I've been the lead pastor here for 3 years. It's been awesome. A little over 3 years, three and a half years, something like that. I was a youth pastor before that for about 3 years, and it's been wonderful. My wife and I have lived here for 6 years, and what I love, and I was given some great wisdom by a wonderful man that celebrated 50 years of marriage yesterday. I was thankful for this. He said, don't just do a bunch of changes, because it takes 3.5 miles to turn a jet airplane around, right? You don't just yank things, and God gave me a vision of a tugboat and people standing in this tugboat, right? And we're driving. Or we're on the boat, and I'm in the driver's seat, right? And we're boating along, and if I just take and I just do a quick turn, how many people fall off? How many people fall off? There's pastors that do that, and there's pastors that don't do that. There's some pastors that never do any changes, and there's some pastors that do changes right away, and they lose people. And for what good? Why? We're a family. We're a flock. Who says, hey, you can eat a few of these, but I'm going to keep these? Who says that? That's not a shepherd, right? But a shepherd also doesn't allow people to stay in the same place and eat the same grass until all you have left is dirt. A shepherd leads you to the next pasture. And what I've seen in the last 3.5 years is our church has been moving, moving, and moving with compassion. We had 50 to 60 people put backpacks together by name, by grade, by age, by school, each and every one. People going shopping with this huge thing, looking at the name and putting stuff in the backpack and then putting it aside and do another one. 50 or 60 people. We've never had that many ever, ever help out. It was during the day. So many naps were ruined that day. So many naps for the kingdom of God. And then we, each and every year, we have more people helping with the backpack giveaway. We have more people helping with Outreach Saturday. We have more people helping on Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day, giving out meals and loving on people. We have more people stepping up saying, hey, I want to be a driver. I want to go pick people up that need to come to church that can't drive. We got more people saying, hey, how can I help? We have somebody, a new person this year that has done a fantastic job. If her name rhymes with Mandra, right? And she's done all these, Andra, and so all these flowers out here in the front, and she's done an excellent, excellent job. There's these people stepping up and doing these things because they're moved with compassion. They have to do something about it. I am so proud of you, church, that I see more and more of you getting involved, right? I think it's finally hitting home that we are not here just to sit at church. We're a family working together and showing the lost what we remember, that Jesus saved us. He found us where we're at, and there's people that loved us and brought the gospel to us. That's why we're here together. I just want to say I'm proud of you. I'm thankful for you, and I know there's more to come. And now we keep growing, and not only in number, but we keep growing with passion and compassion. We keep growing in these outreaches, and we're asking God, Lord, what is fruitful and what is not? See, in God's word, there are things that are not fruitful, and Jesus doesn't say, keep them going because we've always done it. He doesn't say, keep it going because, well, I like it. He says, cut it off. If it doesn't have fruit, cut it off. We've cut things off, and God is giving us more. And he's giving us more, and he's giving us new vision and new ideas and new thoughts. I invite you, as I follow Christ, will you follow me? As we are moving with compassion, will you stand, please? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never met him before, or maybe you've fallen off the path and you said, I don't know, I live my life just for me, and I've done that for a long time, and if that's you today, and you say, that's where I'm at, and that's how I feel, every head bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask for an opportunity for you to come. It says in God's word, if you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's been raised from the grave, you shall be saved. If that's you today, and say, I need to give my life back over to Jesus, will you just raise your hand? I just want to recognize you. I just want to recognize you. Is there anybody here? I see that hand right there. Is there anyone else? Anyone else that says, I need Jesus and I need him to change me. I want to be a part of such a family like this, a family that moves together. Lord, forgive me from where I'm at. Thank you that you accept me and that you love me. And God, forgive me of the unforgiveness I have in my own heart. Set me free. I love you. Is there anyone else today that says, I need to give my life back to God, or I need to accept Christ maybe for the first time? If that's you today, will you just raise your hand? I just want to recognize you. Amen. Before we go today, we're going to have prayer teams. And go ahead, prayer teams. Go ahead and assume your positions on the sides, please. Be awesome. We have prayer teams today, and they're going to pray for you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're at exactly. I know a lot of you, and I know a lot of what you're going through. But whatever you're going through, these people here today are saying whatever you say to them is confidential unless it has something to do with hurting people or hurting yourself. Then they're going to tell me or authorities, and we're going to deal with that. But whatever it is that you're going through, whatever you have faced, whatever is going on, I want to invite you to come as we sing this last song together, to come and get prayer. It says that we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to pray for one another. It says one can send 1,000 to flight, but two can send 10,000. And each one has two. So they're ready to send some angels to fight your good fight, whatever you're going through. So whatever it is, whatever you need, I want to invite you to come up. I'm going to pray. And then that one hand that I saw, I want to invite you up here with me. I just want to pray with you. I want to invite you to pray with me. And then the altar team that's in that section, will you come up with me too? I just want to get some information. If you don't have a Bible, I want to get you a good Bible. I want to write in it. And I want to just tell you that we love you. We want to connect with you and just let you know that we're here for you and anything that you need. So I want to pray before we go. And I pray that you be blessed. Amen? Be blessed to be a blessing. Father, we love you and we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, that we want to imitate compassion. We want to imitate you. We want to look like your son so we can look like you because we're children of God. May you move us, Lord, into and out of our comfort zones. May we not be people that are apathetic but on fire and excited. Lord, no matter where we're at, no matter what we think, Lord, use us. Start small, God. Start big, whatever it is. Lord, we are here and we say, here we are. Use us. Use me. God, send us now. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your example of compassion. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.